The 2 Feet In podcast is brought to you by these sponsors.
Looking to take your student athlete to the next level? Look no further. My Sports Folio leaves no student athlete behind. Get your player in the mix. Call 864-434-1186. Call 864-434-1186.
Welcome to season 2 of 2 Feet In the podcast. This season, we are highlighting inspiring women focused on empowering other women. 2 Feet In the podcast will explore ideas and inspire you to produce action. This is your place to break down ideas and get a strong dose of motivation and learn to live 2 Feet In. Today is the day to get up and get moving on your dreams with me. I am the coach, Heather Macy, and I'm ready to coach you. Lock in, let's go. It's time for your 2 Feet In experience. Joining 2 Feet In the podcast today is Coach Dee Dee Jarman, an inspiring woman focused on empowering other women. 26 total years at Methodist University, currently the Deputy Director of Athletics at Methodist, and working as a SAC advisor, actively involved in the Kyle Cancer Fund, and always looking for a time to play some golf or get to the beach.
Hello, Heather. How are you today?
Listen, I'm so glad that you're on the podcast, and it's so hard for me not to call you coach because that's the only way that I know you. Tell us about your transition from coaching into administration.
To start off with, I was coaching and then kind of started dabbling in to the administration part, first by being the senior woman administrator here at Methodist University, and then one thing led to another. As I was still coaching the administration hat, I really enjoyed being an administrator, dabbling into that side. And then after 20 years of coaching, had the opportunity to step to the administration side full time. And I took that opportunity, ready for something new. I wasn't burned out of coaching, just thought it was the best time in my life to make that transition and to help make Methodist become even better than what it was, to continue the long-term tradition here at Methodist.
So for those of our listeners out there who don't know the background, Coach Jarman was a women's basketball coach at Methodist for a long period of time. And that's how I've always watched you on the sideline and out recruiting. I was very, very successful in that industry. And, you know, this is my 20th year coaching, and now I put my toe a little bit into administration, and I jokingly say a lot, going over to the dark side. And for coaches, for coaches and administrators, sometimes that's an adversarial relationship when it really doesn't have to be. We have a lot of coaches who are listening to the podcast. Give them some advice from an athletic director perspective on how to best manage up and work effectively with an athletic director.
I would say, kind of agree with you, Heather. A lot of coaches say, oh, you're on the dark side now. You're going to drink the same water. At the same time, it's really good to have a former coach as an athletic director because they know what you're going through. They know what coaches are going through because we've been out there. We've been in the recruiting trenches, those travel trips. You get on a bus and you travel, and then you play and you travel back, and then just time being away from your family because of the lifestyle that you've chosen to go into. Always think they were a coach before. Most athletic directors have been a coach. They understand. They can feel the same thing that you are feeling. So I would say don't turn your back on them. And yes, we do change to a certain point. We see things on both sides instead of just one side. Sometimes as an athletic director or in the administration side, we have to say, coach, put yourself in our shoes. Look at both sides. Because as coaches, we tend to only see one side of the situation. And we don't always see the big picture. How's this going to affect everyone in the athletic department, or how's this going to affect everyone on our campus? Not just, is it just going to affect women's basketball or football or baseball? How's it going to affect everybody around us?
And typically, just no different than if you have a team, if you make the one decision, you've set precedent. And I think that's similar as when you're coaching. If you punish one kid a certain way, you tell young coaches that if a kid's late for practice and you kick them off, then be prepared when your best one's late for practice, you're kicking them off too.
Right.
I think that's one of the biggest things going into administration now that I have been able to learn is that it's all about precedent, and the decisions that you're making are going to impact you whether or not you're at the school like you are. For 26 years of being consistent, I mean, man, that's really tough.
Prime example was at a baseball game on Wednesday night. You know, we are having spectators in our venue, group of students over here not wearing their masks. Well, they know in order to be inside of a stadium, you got to have a mask on. And that's our campus rule. In our campus is masks everywhere. So all I had to do is just kind of like the mother, I stood up, started walking towards them. And what happens? All the masks come up because they know what I'm coming over there for. And I didn't even have to say anything. All I did was turn back around and go back and sit down where I was sitting. But you're setting the tone. They know that I'm going to enforce our guidelines and our policies. And there's no gray area with me. I'm black and white. If it says this, then that's what we're doing. And that's kind of the reputation that I do have on this campus is they know that what I stand for and I'm going to do the right thing. And that's even though I have no relationship with the softball players, except most of the time I'm the administrator that covers their games. The older ones are educating the new group. They know, but they don't typically call me coach, but the older ones do because they were maybe freshmen when I was still coaching, but they know what the tradition is and how I am on stickler with rules and things as such.
I often joke that I don't even have to yell anymore at basketball practice because the reputation precedes what's currently occurring. I'm sure it's the same with you as you're walking around that campus, but it's time to get into 2 feet in hot seat experience. Okay, coach, you are on an elevator. You're headed to the 34th floor. And during that short ride up the elevator, there's a person that gets on the elevator with you, and that person needs you today. Can you empower them, explain to them in less than the ride to the 34th floor, your career, your impact, and your life accomplishments?
I feel like that's an easy question. I feel like I've impacted so many different women during my time. You know, it wasn't just the impact of watching them play or mentoring them on the basketball court, but molding them in to be successful young women and trying to inspire them to go beyond. Don't settle for less. I have great relationships with a lot of my former student athletes. They are strong women. They are PAs, teachers, nurses. They're out there, pharmacists. And I've always instilled in them, do not tell anybody that you cannot do what you set your mind to. You are a woman and you can take care of yourself and just go out there and be successful. We had a lot of graduates and they're all different types of majors, but they are successful women. And I don't hang my hat on wins and losses. I hang my hat on the impact that I've had on so many women that have come through the program. And, you know, some have maybe left the program without graduating. I still think I've impacted them on instilling them hard work pays off, a strong work ethic is going to pay off in the very end, and go after your dreams.
That's great, Coach. And can you give us, what is your greatest faith over fear moment? And it could be in your coaching career, but it could also be maybe something personally.
I would probably say it's not going to be coaching. I'm more refer back to when I had Dawson, my daughter. For a long time, I did not want to have kids. And then a light bulb went off when I decided I was 38 years old. There could have been a lot of complications that could have happened having a child at 38. I said, when, you know, Sarah had a child when she was 100 and some, why can't I have one at 38 and still maintain to be a coach? And I think that's been one of the most thrilling things to go through is to go through having a child, seeing that miracle happen, And then, bam, she comes and has changed my whole life. So, because I was scared. And I don't tell a lot of people I'm scared of something. And then even after the 9 months, I remember my mom coming and she stayed with me a week, 2 weeks. And then it was time for her to leave. And I'm like, oh, no, what do I do now? I have this little baby in my hands. And yes, I was 38 years old. I'm grown. But taking care of a child is, it's scary. And you go through a lot.
Okay, so how, with having Dawson, did it impact you?
She changed the way I looked at a lot of things. I think I became not as intense. I was still intense. I would still get fired up. But dealing with touchy situations when, you know, a player would come in and needed to talk, or maybe they were deciding not to play basketball anymore, kind of got soft. And when my alum come back to watch, were watching games right after Dawson, they were like, oh my Lord, why couldn't you have had her when I was there? You're becoming a softie. And I don't think Dawson necessarily changed me all in with coaching. It was time. The student athlete today is different than it was when you played, Heather. You know, it's hard to find student athletes the way they were back then. And I think that was a little bit of a change too. I'm a little bit more emotional now since I've had Dawson. Before, I was not real emotional. My alum would say I'm become a softie.
Okay. Does every former player think that we've all gotten softer? Do you think we've gotten softer over time, or do you think their perception of what they went through is skewed?
I do think our coaches have gotten a little bit softer. And I think it's because the society, how they perceive things now are different back then. And it's not like back then, it's only 10 years ago. I think I would love to see Pat Summitt coach today's student athlete. I would like to see how Pat Summitt would react to what's going on with our student athletes, because they are different. And I've taught before I got out of coaching, I was talking to a lot of coaches, and they were going through the same things that I was going through with the student athletes, how they've changed, how they want instant satisfaction. And I still think there are some student athletes out there that are not molded that way, but the participation trophies have ruined our student athletes, have changed their perspective. So when they have their perspective has changed, our perspective has changed as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Or, you know, I think in coaches have to adjust and adapt. Earlier on in your career, did you include parents differently than you did later in your career?
Oh, no. I had a policy that I would not talk to parents about playing time. And some parents would try. And I'm like, before you have a conversation with me, you may need to talk to your daughter. Ask them to tell you why they're not playing, why they're not playing this game because of a punishment. Talk to your daughter. Now, if a parent wanted to talk to me, then the player was going to come in with us and we would all sit down and talk. But for a long time, I had it in my policy manual. I do not talk to parents about playing time. I would love, you know, to sit there and chit chat with them about anything else, but not playing time and not basketball. And I think most of the parents that I ran across, they respected that part. I only had a couple that pushed the button and forced me to kind of sit down and talk to them.
All right. So that leads us directly into the storytelling time. Old self versus new self. Younger version versus current day. Give us your best story.
Probably say before I had the mentality, maybe it's my way or the highway. And then towards my end of coaching, I would sit down and ask the players what they wanted. What did you want out of this season? What do you think we need to do in order to get to that? Have them plan some practices. I would never do that. nowadays, I think you have to kind of let them feel that they have some input in what's going on and in the decision making. Beforehand, I always decided where we were going to stop and eat. I was going to decide like practice gear, uniforms, and towards the end, I was always giving them the option or some give them some opportunity to give me some feedback of what they wanted, what type of uniform they wanted.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, if I ordered the stuff that I thought looked really good for the girls, they would hate all of it. I always let our young, hip assistant make all of those big-time decisions. All right, Coach, what lesson did you learn the hard that you would love our listeners to learn from today?
Looking back, I had 3 or 4 losing seasons, but overall, I had a winning program. I would probably listen, probably not listening to the student athletes and putting myself in their shoes. I think I should have done that a little bit more than what I did. I still can't relate to some of the student athletes today, how they think. And it's hard to put myself in their shoes because I'm a competitor, not just out on the basketball court or whatever. I want to win. I want to win and do it the right way. It's just hard to buy into this mental health stuff and changing kind of the tone that you talk to get your point across. You got some coaches that are real soft-spoken and the student athlete responds better to them. And I'm just like, I shoot it straight from my hip. And some people like that and some people don't. That's why some coaches come talk to me opposed to talking to Dave, because a lot of times they want the truth. And not that Dave always, that's the athletic director, he sugarcoats things. I'm going to tell them exactly how I feel. And they can like it or they can leave it. It's a two-way street, you know? So.
All right, Coach, it's time for the 2 feet in quick style questions. Lock in, let's go. I know it's a lot of pressure for you, but give us your best quotable.
Early is on time and on time is late.
Man, ain't that the truth. Okay, book recommendation of the decade.
Say The Dirty Dozen with Pat Summitt. I'm a big Pat Summitt fan.
Yeah, aren't we all? The podcast or video that could expand our listeners' thinking?
Any videos by Les Moore. Great motivation. Me and my husband, listen to him all the time.
Oh, he's great. Okay, give us a key to habit stacking or creating a routine that works. We've got coaches listening, but we've also got moms and really, really busy professionals. What routine works to get things done?
Always do a to-do list. Every day I have a to-do list, and I check my to-do list off. If I have that to-do list, I have a productive day. I'm a planner. I just like to plan things, and if I have everything checked off, then at the end of the day, I have a productive day. Plan and have a plan in place to be successful.
You get one phone call. To whom and why?
I would probably to my mom, because she's been my biggest supporter. To this day, I can pick up the phone and say, "Hey, Mom, I need you to make me this." So she's real creative, and she can probably make anything that she can do on a sewing machine. But if I need her, she is always there. She was always one of my biggest supporters, and on the basketball court with Play for K events, she's just my number one fan.
Coach, can you leave any final thoughts for our listeners out there, or maybe something that you've got going on that you want to let people know about?
I would just say, don't take things for granted. Spend time with the people that are around, your loved ones, because you never know when those loved ones won't be around anymore. And don't have regrets about not spending time with them. Family's important.
Yes, it is. Thanks to our guest and friend, Dee Dee Jarman, for being a part of 2 Feet In the Experience, reminding us, have a plan in place to be successful. And it's okay to shoot it straight from the hip and tell it how it is. Visit the show notes to learn more about Coach Jarman and to reach her directly. That's been Dee Dee Jarman on 2 Feet In, the podcast, where inspiring women are focused on empowering women. Thank you for locking in. Now get up and get moving towards your dreams. Remember, I'm 2 Feet In with you always and always. A big thanks to all of our guests and our sponsors for breaking down ideas, giving us a strong dose of motivation, and helping us learn to live 2 Feet In. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.